something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. I'm Ben Bolin, here with our remarkable auto editor, Scott Benjamin. Scott, what's going on?
Not remarkable. That's, I got to live up to that. That's
hey,
it's you, tall order.
You are not even, that word is trying to live up to you, my friend.
I appreciate it. What do you want to talk about?
I am so glad you asked. What I would like to ask you about today is license plates, you know.
Oh, okay.
All right, because in Georgia, as I'm sure you've seen when you moved here, right? Because yeah. no one here is a native.
That's right. Seems that way.
Right. Sometimes it does. A lot of people have just a sign replacing their actual license plate. And this sign might be neatly typed and printed. It might be scrawled with a Sharpie on cardboard. And it always says something to the tune of, tag applied for, you know.
Yeah, I swear I've seen those written in lipstick on a piece of, you know, just notebook paper mm-hmm. is what it seems like. They're everywhere. I don't know if that's even legal. I don't know, but it just says tag applied for, and it seems that works or that passes.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird, man, because I was on my way to work and I saw something like that, and I thought, you know, does that even work? It's very strange. And I saw some vanity plates, and you know, I don't know about you. I have a hard time with vanity plates because there's this compulsion to try to decode what they mean,
mm-hmm, yeah.
but they're in such a weird language. So it got me thinking, how did license plates come about?
How they come about?
Yeah.
Okay. Before I get into that, let me say I'm not a fan of vanity plates either.
Awesome.
Other than that, let's go.
Well, hang on just a second. I don't know if our listeners can see this, but we're going to high five
yeah,
on that.
Okay, yeah. There,
no vanity plates.
Yeah, no vanity plates. Let's see, history.
Yes.
We'll talk about history plates. All right, well, cars are, I guess, relatively new, maybe
sure.
a little over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Plates came about not long after that. They were just a way of, you know, identifying vehicles that are on the road. I didn't really need that when you had horse and carriages. There's no, I guess, no need to, really. Vanity plates. I just said it again.
Just license plates.
Just license plates. I don't think they had vanity plates back in the early 1900s, but maybe they did. License plates in the early 1900s, really, it was just kind of a way of making you register your vehicle so that they knew who had cars on the road and a way to tax that vehicle as well,
and the
driver.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they could pay for the roads and you know mm-hmm. whatever infrastructure they had to build now for these cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of way to tax people.
Were they always made out of metal?
They were, yeah. They've always been metal. There have been a variety of materials that they've been made of. They weren't always the same size and shape, and they weren't always made out of the same thing. They changed through the decades. It's always just kind of what's available at the time and what makes sense at the time.
Okay. I guess what's the most cost effective? What's the most...
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like early on, I guess they were made of iron, heavy iron plates, you know, and imagine stamping something into iron or, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing, but would you have a blacksmith make your license plate? I don't know.
The same guy who was making horseshoes?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there was a stamping process, you know, that was involved in it, mm-hmm. but yeah, they were made of iron and then it kind of shifted to tin or some other material that, you know, it was a flat, thinner material, a little lighter weight, but plentiful at the time. Then, well, actually, I heard one person or one article that I read said that in Arizona they had copper plates for a while. They had flat copper plates, which I guess it just goes to show that, you know, it's whatever's available, whatever material's available, because there's a lot of copper mines, I think, out there, aren't there?
Yeah, and
copper, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Is copper supposed to be pretty ductile, too? Is it malleable?
Yeah, definitely, very. And so I think it would be an easy one to press and get, you know, whatever you need out of it. Mm-hmm. But copper, that's kind of an unusual one.
Yeah.
I think it was just very localized to that area. It was just
I see,
that Arizona area. And then later, they were made of porcelain, which I thought was kind of strange, but it kind of makes sense if you think about it. But that didn't last too long.
Hang on. I'm sorry to interrupt, Scott. How does that make sense?
Porcelain?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty, it's durable material. I mean, it'll, you know, it won't rust. It won't, you paint them, of course.
I guess I'm just thinking of plates.
Seen porcelain. I mean, maybe it's a coating. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think it was a complete porcelain plate. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you could find some car museums or something like that, you know, and they could give you the lowdown on them, what they were exactly made of. But
very well. You've won me over with no rust.
I think that's the case anyways.
Yeah.
And then, you know, during the war, of course, a lot of, you know, the metal was designated for wartime use, for making planes or ships or whatever they needed to. You know, it changed everything. So they were made of, again, according to this article that I read, they said they were made of a soybean-based fiberboard material, which I thought was really crazy. But
yeah.
And they said that, you know, in this particular article, again, they said that goats would often chew on these because they were edible. So that was kind of a downside to those. Mm. Just, I guess, whatever's cheap, whatever's available, whatever you can get at the time is what they made them out of.
So from here, could we say that license plates, I guess, like the automobile, probably originated in the U.S.?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because I'm sure that there had to be a way to, you know, identify those vehicles, tax those vehicles, you know, wherever they are in the rest of the world. So I don't think it's definitely not strictly not a U.S. thing.
So you're reading my mind, my friend. That leads directly to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
So license plates are worldwide, right?
Of course, yeah.
Pretty much wherever there's a car. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, being someone who sees a lot of stuff about cars on a day-to-day basis, I've noticed license plates seem to vary widely. It's not like there's a global standard.
No, not at all. They're all different shapes. In fact, we weren't standardized here in the United States until, I think it was sometime around in the 40s, maybe. Actually, no, I'm sorry, it was in the 50s.
Wow, that's
looking
pretty
recent. Looking down at my notes, I'm cheating a little bit. But it was in the 50s, late 50s, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
So the states all had different size and shape plates until that point. They were close, but not exact.
Mm-hmm.
So they were standardized then. Now, obviously, you've seen the European, well, not obviously, but hopefully, seen the European plates that
yes.
are the longer, thinner plates. There are plates around the world that are oval shaped. There are plates that are different sizes. You know, they go in different places on the vehicle. Those long, thin plates, the European plates, they wouldn't fit on the back end of a U.S.-made vehicle.
I don't think so.
You could put them on the front bumper, and I've seen them there. You know, just kind of as a, they're not really, of course, to designate it. They're just decorative, I guess.
It's almost just a cosmetic.
Yeah,
cool
that's
factor.
Right. Yeah, they have nothing to do with that registration of that vehicle here in the States, anyways. But yeah, they're different all over the world.
And okay, so I really need help on this next one. You know, you see plates occasionally when you're on the road that are special plates, like dealers have a special plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what are some of the different types of specialized plates?
Oh my gosh, there's just a ton of these. There are plates for veterans, of course. I mean, each of the different wars. In fact, there are even plates for recipients of the Purple Heart. There are plates for people that have survived the Pearl Harbor attack. There are plates for, let's see, diplomats. It's just plates for everything. I mean, there are wildlife plates. There are plates about, you know, if you want to support, you know, golden retrevers rescue or, you know, I just all kinds of plates. I mean, what are some that you've seen?
I've seen, let's see, congressman members have specialized plates.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, for a while, doctors used to get them. I think there are, let's see, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but aren't there some types of education plates?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It seems like there are plates for everything. And then typically, if you choose a plate, you know, with that insignia or whatever it is that's stamped onto that plate or a decal that's applied to that plate, the proceeds from that plate or part of the proceeds from that plate go to fund something, you know, a worthwhile cause in that area.
Oh,
so
I
let's
see.
Say you get an education plate, you know, that specific percentage of that plate the sale of that plate will go to fund, you know, the schools in that in that county or maybe in that state. I'm not sure exactly how that works. In fact, the vanity plates in California, all vanity plate sales go to environmental issues. So if you buy a vanity plate in California, you're, you know, helping the environment, I guess.
See, I, you know, I've got to tell you, earlier we high-fived on disliking vanity plates.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with them because some of those things, man, they're just so hard to figure out. You know, yeah, it's like,
right. They're like a puzzle.
I see U B 4 X Y Z. What does that even mean? You know, it's like a really hard crossword in a foreign language sometimes. But it's nice to hear that California at least has turned that weirdness into a force for good.
Yeah, and it's not just California. I mean, any state that you see something like that, you know, they have different wildlife funds and. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of different plates. I mean, you'll find schools that have different plates. You know, that's popular now.
Well, that's
and
neat.
This is kind of strange because this all came about very recently. Up until, I don't know what year it would be, but it wasn't very long ago that every plate within a state was the same. You know, they were all easily identifiable. They were, you know, let's say...
state motto here, right? Like
the
Keystone
right.
State or
Exactly. And they were all the same color and the same, you know, the lettering was the same. Mm. Now, if you look around, I mean, in Georgia, we have, I don't know, it seems like 20 or 30 different plates.
Sure.
And that's kind of unusual, but I shouldn't say unusual because a lot of states have that now, but it's unusual to me because not too long ago, they all had to be the exact same, and the reason was so they could be easily identified. That way, law enforcement could say, that's a car from California.
Oh, I see.
And here's the number. Now with you know, the onboard computer systems that they have, they're able to simply just, you know, enter the numbers and figure out where a person is from. Mm-hmm. That's the key to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's the key, is that they're they can identify the vehicle. Has to be very clear. So, you know, the design can't obscure the numbers in any way. That's why you can't have, you know, surroundings for your plate that block the numbers or
sure.
letters or your registration tags. It all comes back to, you know, law enforcement being able to identify who you are or who you're, you know, I guess, your vehicle with that plate, making sure that they match up.
Identification and taxation. Then.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's pretty, you know what, that sounds reasonable. It sounds like the system's worked pretty well so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's comforting to hear that people who steal license plates or something like that, as soon as they get checked, it won't check out.
That's right. There's a very limited time that will work.
Okay.
In fact, it's probably, you know, the next time a police officer is following them in traffic, you know, because they're checking those things, so...
Not that any of our listeners would try that.
Not a good idea.
Speaking of the, and you'll see where I'm going with this when I ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the criminal element, I've got to ask you while we're on the topic, Scott, who makes license plates?
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this because this is the way it led into it, but you are correct. Prisoners do make a majority of the plates.
Wow, right, so that's now.
That's
a movie thing?
It's not. They don't make all of them. You know, some private companies are making license plates, but cheap labor. It all comes down to cheap labor.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and that's true. And now the process is different now than it was, you know, with just the way that they're delivered to them or the way that they're made. You know, they've advanced. They're reflective now. They have different coatings. They're decals and...
Sure.
You know, it's different. There's not really any painting going on anymore.
Okay, it's just kind of stamping in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, that's you're right. There's a, you know, majority of the plates are being made by prisoners.
You know, I always thought that was weird, but now that you've explained it in this context, it kind of makes sense because along with the quest for the cheapest, most usable material, there's been a quest for the cheapest, most easily used labor.
Yeah, that's right, Ben. They look for cheap labor as well as, you know, the cheapest material that they can, you know, they have available to them. It's just a matter of dollars and cents.
Hmm. You know, Scott, I have to tell you, thank you so much because... You know, I'm like you, like most people. We like to have a little bit of flair, be a little bit different, have some style and panache. And I was trying to find a way to get a out of the normal range type of license plate. You know, not being a congressman yet, or a diplomat.
Did you say yet?
You know, I'm a young man.
Okay, I didn't know you had those aspirations, but that's good.
Very
good. Very good.
But Until that day, I think that I'm going to be able to skip the strange notion of buying a vanity plate and instead, you know, just get something that donates to a good cause, you know, like forest conservation or education. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you breaking this down for us.
Of course, anytime. Love to do it.
Great. And to all our listeners out there, thanks so much for dropping by. If you have any question you'd like to ask us, please write to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And if you'd like to learn more about anything automotive related, please drop by our auto channel on howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.